What's trending?
What's trending here on Cody and Gold is brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. But we're keeping an eye on the injury news out of Chiefs practice today. We're expected to hear from Andy Reid at 1. Juju Smith-Schuster is the big question, right? Popped up on the injury report yesterday with a hamstring issue this late in the week. Never a good sign. So we'll see if, in fact, he is ruled questionable later on today or if Andy flat-out rules him out. But that's what we're keeping an eye on when it comes to the Chiefs and Niners on Sunday.
I mean, obviously, the Chiefs could use Juju Smith-Schuster, but it speaks to he's not that old from an age perspective. But body-wise, I think we've come to accept that Juju plays like a slightly older player, at least on that end. This is the risk of going with that more veteran-type wide receiver when all of your other wide receivers are hurt, is that can they stay on the football field? Next up on What's Trending, college football locals this weekend. Kansas State will take on West Virginia at West Virginia. That game will be right here on 96.5 The Fan, 6:30 kickoff. Tomorrow, MU versus Auburn at 11 a.m. tomorrow. And then Kansas will take on Houston over at Arrowhead at 2:30. Now, obviously, Kansas is up dire straits for any kind of win. They're not going to make a bowl game this year. Their season is shot. Mm-hmm. Missouri, the reason why this one is really important is Auburn's in a down year. Hugh Freeze has not had a good season. They have not had a good year. And next week, MU has Alabama in Tuscaloosa.
The potential trap game.
If they're trying to make the college football playoff, don't be losing to Auburn. That's for sure for the 11 a.m. kickoff. So that's probably the biggest one of the weekend. Although, Kansas State at West Virginia is a sneaky tough game, too.
Next up on What's Trending, Major League Baseball, AL and NLCS action. Two games tonight. Game 5 in the NLCS, where the Dodgers have a chance to clinch the series. They're up 3-1. This game is Dodgers-Mets at 4:08. Also, 7:08 tonight, Guardians, Yankees. Yankees up 2-1. It's game 4 of that series. The Guardians got a huge win last night in epic fashion. They got a game-tying home run in the bottom of the ninth, and they got a walk-off home run in the bottom of the 10th.
Here it comes. Swung on, hit high, hit deep to left. There she goes.
Tom Hamilton, Guardians Radio on the call. Unbelievable finish. And yeah, we got a series now. Got a series. Yankees gonna really, if somehow this ends up going, you know, 7 or something, that game right there, because they were in position, obviously, the Yankees were, to really make this probably over, you know?
Well, I mean, 3-0 in the series. Again, that's only happened one time. It happened to the Yankees when the Red Sox came from behind to beat them in a series, but that just doesn't happen very often. You know, the Guardians haven't. Cleveland hasn't won a baseball world championship since Bob Feller or whatever was thrown to him. 1948. That was the last time the Guardians won a championship. At least they got one. Better than some other cities.
True.
Better than some other teams, but it was 1948 the last time they won one. Next up on What's Trending, Virginia basketball coach Tony Bennett surprisingly announced his retirement yesterday, just 20 days before the opening of their season. In a press conference today, pretty much cited NIL as being the reason why the game's not the same. My heart's not in it. Some of the old tired excuses, I would say, at least on this end. It was a stunning retirement for the former national champion, who did have, he's the single greatest coach in their program's history, no doubt. But essentially going the way of Roy Williams, according to himself anyway, that is, the game's too hard. Not for him. Than like paying college students. Liked it better when he made $4 million, but they made nothing. It was easier. Simpler times.
Also wanted to set up his buddy on the coaching staff to be the next head coach there at Virginia. Lastly on What's Trending, we mentioned this yesterday that it was trending in this direction for the Bally Sports Regional Networks to be renamed. They just now made it official. In fact, the Bally Sports Kansas City Twitter account. Bally Sports will become FanDuel Sports Network on October 21st. So next week, it'll be FanDuel Sports Network. We still don't know, of course.
I canceled that subscription the second the Royals regular season was over.
We don't know if the Royals will be on that or not. That's still a big if. It depends on contracts and everything, but there's a chance that Royals TV games will just be on something called FanDuel Sports Network. That's what's trending.
We'll see if that's even where they are.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. Coming up in 20 minutes, we'll head out west to the Bay Area, talk with Dan Dibley, radio host over at 95.7 The Game. How are they feeling? Does he agree with me that, like, I'm guessing on their side they view it as this massive, massive game? I told you guys yesterday that I feel like there's much bigger games on the schedule remaining. It doesn't, to me, have the juice. Maybe it's because they're 3-3. Maybe it's because the Chiefs are 5-0, as in there's not this desperation to win this game. I don't know. But we'll get Dan Dibley's perspective and how they view the Chiefs out in San Francisco. Thinking of the Chiefs, though, we know that Mike Dana is probably also unlikely to play in this game on Sunday, dealing with a pec strain. Fortunately, Chris Jones is playing at a very, very high level. He makes everybody's life easier, as we heard from Spags yesterday talking about Chris Jones. That is all very, very true. You think, though, and I think you and I differ on this, obviously.
Sure.
But we both agree that Chris Jones is going to be a Hall of Famer one day. We both agree that right now in football, he's the best interior defensive lineman. But you believe historically there's even more to it.
I think his play has taken a different level. And this is where I would say, I think people make the mistake. Even sometimes, Gold, I think you will use stats when they serve you, but then not want stats when they don't, right? So we could say this is not going to be Chris Jones' top sack season. He's not going to have 15 and a half sacks, most likely. He's on pace for 11. I think he'll probably finish with 11, 12 sacks. This is the best season of Chris Jones' career because he is playing at, he's gone full Aaron Donald, in my opinion. He is the most disruptive player in the NFL by a mile. To the point that Aaron Donald used to be disruptive. Watch him every single snap. Watch Chris Jones on every single snap of every single game. He destroys opposing offensive lines. He is the heartbeat of their entire defense. He is playing at an Aaron Donald level. Before, I would have told you the same thing most people told you. Aaron Donald was one, number one with a bullet at a number of times that they were in the league together. And at the end of the time, right, Chris Jones surpassed him because Aaron Donald's body started to fail him before eventually he started to retire. But what I'm telling you is this version of Chris Jones is not like the previous versions of Chris Jones where he was great and he was the second best guy in the league. I'm telling you, he has elevated his game to a disruptive level I've never seen him play. He is playing like Aaron Donald. It is that level of play. And maybe not his 20 sack season.
Yeah, look, he's the closest thing we're seeing right now. I'll agree with you on that. Like, he's the closest thing to Aaron Donald we're seeing currently. I don't think this level of play from Chris Jones is on the same level as Aaron Donald in his best years. That's the only part we differ on. But right now in football, there's nobody playing close to that level but Chris Jones. That's all true. That's all fair. I'm just saying that if we viewed Aaron Donald in the regard that we did for a reason, that we had never really seen anybody do that.
He had a
consistently
5-year run that was special. I'm not saying Chris Jones got through that.
In 20 and a half sacks. That's where I'm like, no, he's not there. But in football right now, there's nobody playing the interior defensive line position. We know they also have him outside better than he is currently. It's also why he got the contract that he got.
I think it's hard to separate, because I get it. It's always easy to be like, but look at what Aaron Donald was entire career. But you got to separate him for just a minute and look at the way he's playing right now. What Aaron Donald did during that 5-season run. One of the times he had 20 and a half sacks, so that's a completely different animal, and I understand that it's coming with a different level of expectation. That's one of the single most dominating seasons in NFL history. I am not trying to say that he is playing at Aaron Donald, at the absolute peak, no question, single greatest season of his career. What I'm telling you is Aaron Donald for 5 years played at a level that I'm seeing Chris Jones play at right now. Yeah. It is comparable to the season after that, where he had 12 and a half sacks, but he was still the same level of dominant. The truth is, I understand he had 20 and a half sacks. Sacks to me are a little bit like passing touchdowns. They are variable to a point. 20 and a half puts you in a special season in which it's not variable. Outside of that, same numbers Chris Jones puts up. 11, 8, 11, 12 and a half, 13 and a half, 15 and a half. Over the last three seasons, Chris Jones has 15 and a half, 10 and a half, and he's on pace for 11 this year. That's the same as a three-year run, any other three-year run from Aaron Donald that does not include the 20 and a half season. I'm saying he is playing that level of domination. He is dominating like Aaron Donald did.
He is
not second best guy, not like, oh, he's Aaron Donald light. He is Aaron Donald.
Yeah, and look, we'll just disagree to disagree on the exact comp to him. He is playing dominant football right now. He is at a level that nobody else is at. Aaron Donald might be like the third best defensive or second best defensive lineman we've ever seen play the game. That's the category I put Aaron Donald in. And with all due respect to Chris Jones, who's a Hall of Famer, I don't know if he's the second best defensive lineman I've seen play the sport. That's all I'm getting at. But I mean, right now, yeah, it's pretty impressive to say the least. And, you know, now people are texting in about the ring argument. I don't think we want to get into who has more rings as defensive lineman and see if they're better in their Hall of Fame cases. That's a slippery slope. I don't think we want to do that. That's not what you were arguing. I know. I'm like, I don't think we don't want to start saying like, well, that
for
that,
interior
that,
defensive
that,
lineman.
Yeah, I don't think we want to do that. That's, I mean, I couldn't name you one, but I'm sure there's some interior defensive lineman on the Patriots, not just Richard Seymour, who played on the outside too, but where they just had a bunch of rings. Nobody's arguing about them. But yeah, I mean, Chris Jones got the contract, Cody, for a reason, man. He was playing and is playing at as high of a level as you can play in the NFL right now at his position.
The correct answer, by the way, is Charles Haley.
Okay.
With the most interior defensive lineman Super Bowl rings, or any defensive lineman. He has five.
How many did Vince Wilfork get with the Patriots?
All I know is that he had five.
If there was
is
a
he
Patriots...
still doing those Kingsford commercials? It's Wolfork.
Maybe.
If there was a defensive lineman that I thought of with New England, you know, other than Seymour, it'd be Wilfork.
It's just the same thing. Like, this has always been my argument with like the ring stuff on Tom Brady is I don't need Patrick Mahomes to get to seven in order for him to be the greatest quarterback of all time, but it can't be a blowout. Like, it can't be a blowout, right? He can't have two and be the best quarterback of all time, but I definitely don't need him to get to seven to do it either. Because based on that, then the second best NFL player of all time is some dude named Herb Adderley, who somehow got six NFL championships in his life. I don't care who Herb Adderley is.
Yeah, and that's where I 100% with you. I think what happened when we're talking, we're off the Aaron Donald conversation for a second.
Yeah.
When we're
moving to a different position for half a second.
When we are talking about, in this example you gave, Brady and Mahomes, we're talking about clearly the only two in the conversation. And so people are going to...
Every little thing has to matter
versus... Like, nobody's arguing, like, if you're just, you know, who's the fifth or tenth best quarterback? Like, the discrepancy is not there. Quarterback at the very top, the greatest of all time. Yeah, people are going to look at the head-to-head. People are going to look at the rings and all that. And that's why I have said consistently the three-peat is so massive for that argument because Brady never did that. If you were to find a way to three-peat this year, then that maybe allows you to be three rings off the pace of Brady. Maybe it alleviates the head-to-head losses that you had to Brady if you do something he didn't.
I also just like this probably goes back to the conversation we had about MVP and Aaron Judge. Yeah. I just think if we're going to look at every single thing to judge at the end, right? Not now, judge at the end, who's the best. Then I get called a hater if I try to bring up like, all right, well, what were their defenses ranked the years that they won the Super Bowl? Well, Tom Brady's were always in the top damn three. So like he had a massive advantage and an ability to win a ring because his defenses were ranked top three, six of those seven Super Bowls. Right now, Patrick Mahomes got one.
Yeah, and right? If he gets the second one this year, that's going to be the case.
If
he gets his third in a row, that's going to be the case as well.
But yeah, it's just like it always comes back to this same thing. It's like I want to be able to look at the whole picture, and sometimes it's easy to look at the sexy things, which is like the rings, right? That's the single biggest thing, or a single head-to-head game, which ended up being like 15 years in the past.
People like looking at the sexy things, Cody.
Yeah, I mean, there's other things that exist.
Pay off your bet in Vegas next week. Coming up in 12 minutes, we'll get to Dan Dibley from 95.7 The Game, our sister station, get his perspective on this one. And I'll ask him the same thing about Kyle Shanahan, because I think we might have mentioned this when we were on Radio Row getting set for the Niners-Chiefs Super Bowl. And that is that Kyle Shanahan, though, and how everybody talks about him, is exactly where Andy Reid was prior to winning his first ring. We all knew Andy Reid was a really good head coach, but everybody was like, but the clock management stuff and he can't win the big one. And, you know, I'm not sure. And he's making some mistakes. And what's the conversation around Kyle Shanahan? We all think he's a really good head coach. Inexplicably did not understand the overtime rules. Just didn't admit that he screwed up last year, even though clearly he did. He's gotten to multiple NFC title games. He's been to multiple Super Bowls. Hasn't got the ring. Even as a coordinator, everybody will mention even though I think that one's a bit unfair, will mention the 28-3, even though he was the offensive coordinator that put him up 28-3.
It does feel like a weird thing to put on him. We don't put that on any other offense or defensive
coordinator.
Totally
with you, but some people will. And so I think he's exactly where Andy Reid was prior to the win. All it'll take, and hopefully it's not this year, but like Kyle Shanahan wins one ring and all of a sudden all that other stuff doesn't matter and everybody starts, he really is. I think it's
why do you think Mike Tomlin gets to coast?
Yeah.
He's been a coach for 18 years. When was the last time Mike Tomlin was in an AFC title game? Like just an AFC title game.
Yeah, like someone here says Andy
10 years? I mean,
like,
I don't know.
Here's the perfect example. Someone texts in says Andy Reid sucked in Philadelphia.
He did not suck in Philly.
He went to four NFC title games?
He had a pretty
went to a Super Bowl.
And went to a Super Bowl, obviously that was the TO year. That's what I'm saying. That text to me is the perfect example of what I mean. That's how people are talking about Kyle Shanahan until he wins one. And I go, you know, we think he's smart. We think he's good, but like he's made too many mistakes in the playoffs. He hasn't been over to get over the. He hasn't been able to get over the hump.
2017, I think Cody was the last Steelers team to make it.
This is the problem with like nuance that we're talking about that is really hard to understand. Andy Reid also makes mistakes, but do you know what makes it a lot easier to cover for those mistakes, Gold? You know what makes it significantly easier to cover for a mistake? Having Patrick Mahomes. That's the part that makes it easier to cover for those things. And that we're just ignoring sometimes as a part of the conversation. Andy Reid took Donovan McNabb's a perfectly fine quarterback. But I'll just be honest with you. Look at his career numbers. Look at what he did. He is essentially, or at that time, was like the 10th best quarterback or the 11th best quarterback. He was how we viewed Derek Carr in his prime, Gold, right? I mean, he was just like a dude. He's a pretty good dude. He was a pretty good player in the league. But he got him to 4 AFC title games. Look, for Shanahan, probably what it'll take is getting the guy. And I don't know which version of Brock Purdy will inevitably be. He's gotten better and better, but we didn't say he won a Super Bowl in Philly. He said he went to a Super Bowl.
The same person texting said Andy never won a Super Bowl in Philadelphia. Again, that's my exact comparison, is that Kyle Shanahan has not won a Super Bowl.
He's saying if he wins one, then conversation over. Yes. That's my argument for Tomlin.
Yeah.
He won a Super Bowl 18 years ago? Was it year one or year two for Tomlin he won the Super Bowl? Nobody talks about Tomlin like he stinks. People do be like, Shanahan's overrated. Guy's a fraud. I do not feel that way about Kyle Shanahan. Yeah. Same thing I said about...
And he screwed up in a huge way with the overtime decision.
Huge.
He tried to explain it away in overtime, getting the ball first. No, you screwed up. And they tried to come up with this weird explanation why. They didn't adjust to the new rule, and they screwed up. It was a complete mental lapse. It's inexcusable. Doesn't mean he's a terrible football coach.
No. Same thing that I said earlier about Dennis Allen. If I had to start a franchise, he'd be like second to last on my entire list. If you made you start right now, you got to choose from anybody who's available. Offensive coordinators, coaches. To coach the Chiefs, not named Andy Reid.
Yeah, so number one would be Sean McVay still.
Okay.
Number two would be Kevin O'Connell. Number three would be Kyle Shanahan.
Okay.
Number four would be Mike Tomlin.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fairly easy list when you start compromising it. And I'm with you on O'Connell at this point because... it's undeniable at this point. He's doing like Kyle Shanahan thinks. The other part about this is Kyle Shanahan has gotten his team in the AFC Championship, gotten his team to Super Bowls, and he's been doing with like Jimmy G and Brock Purdy, who's I think gotten a lot better, but like he's not doing this with stars. He took Alex Smith to some playoff, or not, that was Harbaugh, but he's been a competitive coach is the point. And he seemingly has made, he even won some games with Nick Mullins, He'll just make it kind of work. That, to me, is usually the sign of a good coach. That even if you got kind of a mediocre quarterback like Sam Darnold and Kevin O'Connell there in Minnesota, you will make some special things happen.
913-586-7965. Someone from the 316 says, how do you feel about Super Bowl winning coach Doug Peterson? If you're trying to ask me, would I rather have Doug Peterson or Kyle Shanahan? Kyle Shanahan. But that's my point in the whole example. It's not just about it's not just about winning the ring. I'm saying that Kyle Shanahan is already a really good head coach, but for some people it will take him winning a ring to give him the proper respect. So Doug Peterson has the ring, and so some people are like, "Oh, well then he must just be better." That's not true. Andy Reid was always the same coach he is now. He's evolved, but Andy Reid was always a really freaking good head coach. He just couldn't get over the hump in Philly. And then once he won it here, everybody's like, well, now he has a chance to be the greatest coach of all time.
What a shift, by the way. He went from best coach to never win it. He was Dan Marino of head coaches, right? Like, God, we all think he's a great coach. Man's never going to win it. To he could go down as the single greatest coach of all time.
He could.
How close does he have to get on the rings too? Same. He's at three. Unless you count
for
one
coach, win. I think you. I mean, you
I think Andy's got
to
be
for
closer.
Coach. You might just have to get there, and you wins have to get to there.
Six?
Yeah, for
same
coach.
Thing. I don't think it.
I think for coach even more close, than player though, because
half of his career he had to do Donovan McNabb.
I understand.
Hitting a Tom Brady for 20.
I hear you, and the perception will be in Andy's favor anyway because he's going to end his career winning a ton, whereas Belichick lost down. Andy will win on top. You know, go out on top, but like the conversation with players. Mahomes can have less rings with Brady, and we can all just use our eyes and be like, okay, he's just better. A coach, like, I have to have accolades. I have to have the rings and the wins.
But there's a simple logical explanation for why Bill Belichick would finish with more rings, and it's that Andy Reid, let's just call him a 20-year head coach. He's been coaching a little bit longer than that.
Yeah.
Bill Belichick, right? 25-year head coaches for both of them. Let's just write it down. For 12 of those 25 years, he had Donovan McNabb or other nonsensical Kevin Cobb, Michael Vick, whatever quarterbacks. And for the other half, he had one of the single greatest quarterbacks of all time. And during that time, he just won a whole bunch of rings. Did nothing but win them. And then on the flip side, Bill Belichick, for his whole coaching career, got one of the two greatest quarterbacks of all time.
No, I mean, and that's why the narrative,
I can explain the rings away, no problem, and Belichick be like, Andy's a better coach.
But that's why the narrative will be on Andy Reid's side when he retires from the public. If Bill Belichick comes back next year and coaches and takes the Giants, to a Super Bowl, then obviously it's a different conversation. That ends the conversation.
Yes, it does. Do assistant ring coach rings count?
I mean,
he's got one
in this
Packers
conversation. Personally, I would say no.
Okay,
I think that's where Belichick, in a way, I mean, if you want to protect his legacy, he shouldn't come back, because if he does come back in the end, they stink. All of a sudden, the GOAT conversation is, well, you didn't have Brady and you were not very good. Where
again,
Andy has had success outside of just, as you said, Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, that's probably it.
All right, up next, we're going to head out to the Bay Area. Want to get their perspective on how they see the Chiefs heading into Sunday. They're also dealing with some injuries. We'll get the latest with their health. Dan Dibley from 95.7 The Game joins us here.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Next. Back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the random question of the day. We're also a half hour away from the fan club on a Friday. CDOT's going to stop on by, crack open a few drinks for the weekend. But we'll get to random question of the day in 15 minutes. For now, we go out to the Bay Area, though, and welcome in Dan Dibley from 95.7 The Game. Dan, it's good to have you on the show. We'll talk some football in a second, but I must mention, I saw the acting career, obviously, at one point in time. You were in Flubber. I'm going to be in the Chiefs Christmas Hallmark movie. I'm assuming your life changed forever after Flubber. So prepare me. How is my life going to change next month?
Well, the big advice that I would give you is act like you've been there before, which I had never been. And, you know, when you're acting alongside Robin Williams, and I'm saying acting loosely because I don't know if you're familiar with the film, but it's a basketball game with a really good team and the nerd team. And I was the backup center on the nerd team, and I'm only 5'8", so you get an idea of the size of our squad. And if you ever watch the movie, look for the redhead number 11 and watch how much I am overacting as I'm giving water and distributing towels during a timeout. It's pretty funny looking back now, 27 years removed from my only one-off as an actor, but act like you've been there before, but make sure you get your money's worth.
So it sounds like what you're saying is he's never getting another gig again, Dan. He's going to be in this one Hallmark movie in the background, and then that's it.
Yeah, and all I'm going to say is make sure that they see you. Make sure you don't wind up on the cutting room floor. But make sure you can pop your head where you know the camera is without making it too obvious.
That's good. No, we already filmed it. So now I just got to find out if I actually made the cut or not when this thing premieres next month, as we're talking to Dan Dibley from 95.7 The Game. Let me ask you just how you guys view the Chiefs in this matchup. We know it's a Super Bowl rematch, but the Chiefs have won four straight against Kyle Shanahan in the Niners. It feels like it'd be a bigger game on your guys' side than maybe the Chiefs' side.
It is, and it's funny because you're hearing some of the players for the 49ers intimate that it is a big game for them psychologically. But what's funny is in talking to a lot of fans are trying to downplay it, and I think they're doing so to avoid the disappointment of losing another game to Kansas City. Because think about it, guys, the last couple of Super Bowls, the Niners had double-digit leads. And, you know, the first one, Niner fans are still crying about the hold that Kansas City didn't get called on. And that's a big narrative around the country, is that, you know, the refs are in Kansas City's pocket. And I try not to fall prey to that. I'm a youth official, and I understand that refs don't think like that, but there have been some calls that went against the Niners, and last year's Super Bowl is definitely one that still sticks here whether it's the overtime decision that Kyle made or the fourth down read option that Patrick Mahomes pulled off to keep that drive alive, the Mecole Hardman touchdown, the blown block when the Niners had a sure touchdown on their third down possession inside the 10. So fans are fired up, but they also are cautiously preparing for what could happen on Sunday.
When you look at what scares you about this year's 49ers team, obviously 3-3 is not a position they've been in very often this year. Defensively, is it just the injuries that's keeping them from being the level that they've been? Because I'm not saying they're a bad defense, but they've certainly been more suspect than they have in years past.
They have, and it's partly injuries, and you know, losing Javon Hargrave in the middle has hurt a little bit. Fred Warner's been hampered. He's probably the best linebacker in football, and he might be the best linebacker that the Niners have ever had. Apologies to Patrick Willis, but this guy is incredible. Haven't had Dre Greenlaw all year, and I think part of it too, guys, is that they have a new defensive coordinator, Nick Sorensen, who's never coordinated before. He's from the staff, but there's been a little bit of an adjustment period, and I look at the Seattle game from last Thursday where the defense started to really lock in and perform better, and you know, they have a lot of young players at the back. Renardo Green is a rookie, and he had a pick. And Malik Mustafa is a rookie, and he also had a pick. And Jair Brown, a second-year safety, is really coming into his own. So it's an emerging defense with some of the young pieces they have. But this matchup with Kansas City is unlike what you normally think about, because Kansas City is not going to step back and go four wide and let Patrick throw it all over the park. This game is going to be a grinded out affair, I think, on both sides.
Well, and that question, how are they in the trenches? Because if it comes down to simply that, offensive line versus defensive line play, which plenty of games do, where do the 49ers rank there?
Getting better defensively. They're getting better against the run, and a lot of that has been, you know, the scheme of what the 49ers do, and they've had different pieces coming in, and they're trying to just still find their footing as a defense, but they were able to stop Kenneth Walker III in Seattle and really limit them. But you know, you go back to the Ram game where Kyren Williams kind of had his way. James Conner in the second half started to gash the 49ers. I think their run defense is starting to hit its stride, and it's interesting because you guys know this, the Chiefs running game hasn't been terrific. Kareem Hunt starting to show some signs of old, but it's been kind of a running back by committee out there as far as I can see. So it's not really strength on strength, because I don't see the Chiefs run offense as being that much of a juggernaut.
We're talking to Dan Dibley from 95.7 The Game, our sister station out in the Bay Area. I feel like last year, Brock Purdy, of course, was a huge story because he's Mr. Irrelevant. He was in the MVP conversation. People were trying to discredit him. He's got all these weapons around him. This year, he still has a ton of weapons around him, but there's no Christian McCaffrey to this point in the season. How has he looked this year? Because I feel like we've now maybe overcompensated to where nobody's really talking about Brock Purdy.
I think he's been fantastic, and this is probably going to be unpopular on your station, but I'm going to say it anyway because we talked about it on our station. Brock Purdy is having a better year than Patrick Mahomes, and you can look at the record. Yes, Mahomes is undefeated. Purdy's 3-3, but Brock Purdy has been terrific, and he's not been the reason why they've lost these games. And you look at all the metrics, whether it's quarterback rating and yards per attempt and all the rest of it, he's near the top again. And so one thing that we talk about on our show is the idea of draftism, where people hold his draft position against him. But I do think that that narrative is starting to die, because you watch the guy go out there and he's incredibly efficient. He doesn't turn it over very often. They move the ball, and they've got an undrafted running back, Jordan Mason. They don't even have McCaffrey, and Brandon Ayuk held in, not held out, but he held in. And so he had a slow start to the year, and Debo's been hurt, and they have a lot of, you know, no-name guys on offense, yet Brock Purdy continues to be incredibly efficient.
Do you guys expect McCaffrey back?
Yes, we expect him back, but I honestly don't think it'll be until after the bye, and it may be later than that. It started where he had Achilles tendonitis, and then it came out that it was bilateral, which means both Achilles have tendonitis. And he went to Germany to get that special European PRP, you know, because they can spin your blood over there like we can't spin it here, which I don't understand, but that's the reality of the PRP. And so he's really been shut down. The Niners have one more game after KC. They've got Dallas, then the bye. And I would imagine after the bye, they'll start to look at when they can get him back into practice.
What is the feeling on Kyle Shanahan now, years down the road? Alex earlier likened it to what it's like with Andy Reid when he was in Philly, where people had soured on it because of the lack of championships, but did everybody know he's a good coach? What are fans starting to say about Kyle Shanahan?
Well, the fans who have a clue understand that this guy is one of the great coaches in the NFL. Offensively, nobody does it the way he does with 21 personnel, two running backs, and a tight end. He is so just unique with the way he employs his personnel, and it reminds me a little of what KC does now with Kelsey, where Kelsey was running the read option against New Orleans in your last game, which was fascinating. But the big criticism for Kyle Shanahan is him being unable to get it done and close out these games. They've blown two leads this year in the fourth quarter. He's blown 20 leads in his career in the fourth quarter. And I say he, that's unfair, guys, but under Shanahan, the Niners have lost 20 games where they led in the fourth quarter. So that's just the one thing. Is he a closer? And we've seen it against you guys in the Super Bowl. And last year, again, the Niners with the lead, and they were unable to get it done. So that really is the final criticism of Kyle Shanahan. But as you guys know, sports talk radio, there's the lunatic fringe. And so, yeah, we have some fans who want his head on a spike.
You mentioned, Dan, a couple minutes ago, just the type of game you think this is going to be. Do you think, knowing the Chiefs are underdogs, it's a rare spot for them? Mahomes typically is very successful when he is a dog, in this case a road underdog as well. You think this is one, though, where the 49ers get the Chiefs number for the first time in the last five matchups?
I really don't. And, you know, I was going to save my pick for my show this afternoon, but we do a bit called Fade the Dibber because I've been on a cold streak for the better part of a decade. And so, for example, last night I had the Saints and the points. How did that work out for me?
And just off on that one.
Yeah, just a titch. And as soon as, you know, Spencer Rattler, I don't want to get into it. But every time I pick the Niners, our fan base gets mad because I tend to lose in these picks. But I honestly look at Kansas City. And, guys, a team coming off a bye, and the Niners have a mini bye because they played on Thursday, but the additional rest is a big factor. And Andy Reid is, what, 87-1 off a bye?
Yeah, it's insane. Something
something insane like that. So, yes, Kansas City's a dog, a one-point dog. The biggest factor, I think, and this is kind of a Shanahan game, the Niners have struggled against these types of defensive coordinators. Spagnuolo is elite, and he'll bring a lot of pressure, and they'll play press man. And these are things that have given the Niners trouble. Brian Flores earlier this year in Minnesota, last year Baltimore, what they did to the Niner offense. I think the matchup is a tough one for the Niners, and God forbid your guy gets the ball down four with 3 minutes to go and one timeout. It's making me sick to my stomach just thinking about it.
Dan Dibley from 95.7 The Game out in the Bay Area. Appreciate the insight, man. Appreciate the advice on the future acting career, too.
No problem. Just remember, always know where the camera is and get in that shot.
There you go. Dan Dibley joining us here on 96.5 The Fan. He said Flubber is like that 27 years ago. Yeah, I think it came out in
27.
Yeah, I was maybe six years old, something like that. Yeah, I guess the math would work.
Did
yeah,
you see that one in theaters?
You know, I actually
VHS.
I actually think it was in like it was in theaters, and I remember. I don't know if I saw it in theaters, but I was just old enough to start remembering a little bit, like starting to actually remember things. And I think I remember seeing like the poster for it. Like I think I can picture the poster for it still. But no, I saw the clip before we had him on. I knew we were going to have him on and wanted to ask, so I didn't. Yeah, he's wearing like a blue basketball jersey in the background of a shot that he mentioned.
So, to his point, the two things that really I have a hard time shaking in this game are Andy Reid in the regular season is 21-4 after a bye, mm-hmm. and Patrick Mahomes, when he is an underdog, a point spread underdog, is 10-3 straight up against the spread. That heavily favors.
Yeah, ten and three straight up, 11-1-1 against the spread.
Ten and three straight up, though. I mean, that's all I care about in this case, because I'm talking about whether they win the game. And when you talk about this, it's like, that's a massive advantage in those, and it makes me feel that way. Now, I will say, I did not realize that number was that high for Kyle Shanahan. Damn. He's lost 20 leads in the fourth quarter.
That's the graphic they put up. Dude, they put up on the Fox broadcast every week.
How long has he been the coach there? 20 fourth quarter leads? Woof. An inability to close out a game is always concerning. Because, like, for all the things that frustrate us about Andy Reid, and there are plenty of things that you're like, the hell you doing? Closing out a game is his specialty.
Yeah, and each
that's his key dish, man. That's what he does the best.
If there were only a handful of them, you could say, all right, let's know context, what exactly happened. But when it's happened 20 times, it's not, you can't just, you know, sweep it away and act like it's not something. If it was five times, be like, okay, well, what happened each one of those five? Like, okay, that was when this guy tore out their quarterback tore his ACL in the final drive. Well, obviously that didn't help. Like 20 times though, he also mentioned. And the text line surprisingly actually agrees, and I think he was correct. He said, you guys maybe don't like it, but he was right. To this point, nobody's saying he's a better quarterback, but to this point, level of play and stats? Yeah, okay. Brock Purdy, he said Brock Purdy has been better than Mahomes so far this year. That's like people get all upset about that.
15 quarterbacks are having a better season than Mahomes care?
No, but it's true. I think some people, you say that, and they're like, oh my gosh, how could you? It's true right now. Now, is that the case 2 months from now? Ultimately, here's why nobody here should care, is because come playoff time, like last year, Patrick Mahomes found a different level, and he was terrific in the postseason. That's why it shouldn't bug you that much, but it is the truth right now, statistically and otherwise. There are plenty of quarterbacks that are playing better football than Patrick Mahomes. It's okay. Like, we don't need to. It's okay. It's going to be all right. Like, we don't need to freak out and get all defensive about it or anything. Like, that's what's happening right now. Doesn't mean it will be the case in a couple months.
Drew Brees had better regular seasons than Tom Brady every once in a while. So did, you know, what, Philip, it doesn't matter. Having a better regular season, it doesn't offend me, Gold, because I know what the ultimate prize in Gold is, which is to win the Super Bowl. He's done that 2 times in a row. And I'll say, if you want to say that, that's fine. If you want to take it a step further and say he's not the best quarterback in the NFL anymore, then I think you're stupid. And so, like, that's where the difference is that to admit somebody is having a better season doesn't offend me. I think Brock Purdy's looked really good.
Yes.
I've watched him multiple times this year. He's been a very, very effective quarterback. And right now, Mahomes is off to kind of a rocky start. Funny enough, he's still the favorite to win the MVP.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. We'll get to the random question of the day in a second. Real quick update on Carolina with the Panthers. Like, why are you giving me a Panthers update?
Is that a Deontay Johnson update?
I don't know if you'll like it, but you'll appreciate it. Does that make sense?
Okay.
Dave Canales, their head coach, said Deontay Johnson's rib area tightened up on him today. Was not a contact injury. He didn't want to say too much else until he talks to the trainers. So on one end, you can say, you can go conspiracy and say, oh, it's because he's getting traded. Or the other, you can say, uh-oh, no, hopefully he's not actually getting hurt. This is a guy we want to trade for here. But Deontay Johnson, a little banged up right now. I'm on Deontay Johnson. I pull Devontae Adams. Yeah, the ribs are
they're going to hurt for about 2 weeks.
Oh, I'm getting traded to play with Patrick Mahomes. Man, it feels good. The ribs feel good.
Do you guys mind just getting a little shot of cortisol in there?
We're
loosen
good.
That up whenever we need here. That'll
ribs,
be fine.
Ribs are good to go.
I'm laughing. Between that one and the one that happened in the Steelers. So the Steelers, Mike Tomlin spoke to the media, and he said, we're keeping our decision on who's starting at quarterback in-house.
That's fine. That's fine. They're playing the Jets Sunday night. But whatever, that's fine.
George Pickens, who's been a malcontent his entire time in...
You guys wanted to draft him. That guy's a giant pain in the ass.
He was in the locker room and said, well, I've been putting in some extra time with Russell Wilson because it's his first start. So he just gets out of the bag.
I'm not saying that at times George Pickens hasn't looked great.
Oh, dude, he's so talented.
But around the draft, what was the concern? That he was kind of what he is in terms of being a pain in the ass. And he's, to me, he's still not good enough to be like, okay, I can handle that.
I guess the crazy thing is, like, he kept Antonio Brown quiet. How the hell is he not able to keep George Pickens under control?
I know it's very easy when the Chiefs have wide receiver issues, but like, I don't care. I would just take him. That's fine. I'm totally fine that he did not get drafted by the Chiefs more and more every single day. I really am. The stuff last week, his comments in the locker room last week, we didn't play it on this show, but you know, and then that's just a dumb thing. Just like, what are you doing? Clearly your team didn't want you to put that stuff out there.
You didn't have to hide it either, Mike Tomlin.
I mean, I get why a team doesn't want to tell a team who's starting at quarterback.
If you kind of read the room a little bit and read some of the comments, the biggest problem that Tomlin's going to make here is I think he's divided a locker room. I think at least half of that locker room thinks Justin Fields should continue to start for this team. They're 4-2. They're winning. The offense is doing enough to continue to win. I think at least half of that room thinks that Justin Fields should continue to be the starter for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And maybe there's a faction that's like, Russ has been there, done that. We believe in our guy. And they spent a lot of offseason time working with Russ, believing in that ability. But that's a weird thing to do in the middle of the season for a team that is winning.
Do you think he gets benched at all? If he goes down the first three drives, punt, punt, field goal. I mean,
if he has to throw interceptions, yeah.
I mean, if
they just go three and out, three straight drives, I don't think they'll pull the trigger that quick. I wouldn't surprise me though if we see Justin Fields get in on a couple packages or whatever like that. I'm just surprised because they've been winning games, and you can say, "Well, are they winning in spite of them or whatever?" Like, I
think he's the reason for at least a couple of them.
Some of them. I would have just continued to roll Justin Fields until you lost a game or two. You know, in a row or something, and then you switch. I'm surprised. Because what if you go out there, Russell Wilson, you're playing against the Jets. It's a winnable game, but it should be a close game. If you lose and he looks great, then that's one. Like, if Russell Wilson throws for 270 and three touchdowns and they lose, well, I can't imagine that scenario resulting in a loss. But if they did, okay. But if Russell Wilson has 180 yards, throws two picks, and there's no offense, then now you're kind of like, where are you at now? Where are you at now as a team?
Now you got to open up.
I wish they made the move ahead of the Bengals game because go ahead and play Russ, please.
I mean, we just made fun of the Raiders for essentially openly admitting to having a quarterback competition in the middle of the season. If Russell Wilson is bad this week and they lose to the Jets on Sunday Night Football, well, then you've done the same thing. You might not admit publicly you're having an open quarterback competition, but aren't you? If Russell Wilson stinks and you lose and you go to 4-3,
I think it's over.
Or you switch quarterbacks. Then why did you even waste your time?
Right.
Here's the truth. If you were going to start Russell Wilson in this case, which obviously it appears Mike Tomlin's going to do, you actually can't give him a short leash. That's even worse. What are you doing? Like, you're just flip-flopping back and forth on quarterback? Crazy.
913-586-7965. Someone said, do you think the Steelers are rolling the dice to hope he performs decent to try to get some trade value for him? I'm not following that one.
To trade Russell Wilson?
Are they trading him? Miami?
Think they are rolling the dice to hope he performs decent to try to get trade value? If Russell Wilson performs decent, then he's their quarterback the rest of the year. Maybe you're talking about Fields. I don't know, but like that logic doesn't add up.
You're saying Russell Wilson performs, parlor game, but that's not really how Tomlin acts. He's not doing three-card money trying to start him just to flip him.
They're not starting Russell Wilson for 2 weeks. He looks great. They're like, actually, you look great, but we want to trade. If he looks great, they'll be thrilled.
They'll just play him. They might be leading the division.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah,
they might be 6-2.
Now, if Russell Wilson looks great, could they trade Justin Fields? I guess. I just don't know who's trading for Justin Fields midseason.
Why would they do that?
They're both on one-year deals, if I'm not mistaken, too.
Right? Yeah, they're both cheap.
Aren't they? Or maybe,
Fields is in the last year of his deal.
Yeah, too. They're both on one-year deals. Neither one is likely to be their quarterback next year.
I told you from the very beginning, my sense of it is that Mike Tomlin is convinced that Russell Wilson is a far superior quarterback to that of Justin Fields. That's the only way I can make this make sense. Or they signed some sort of blood pact, and Mike Tomlin made some braggadocious promises to Russell Wilson that he's now trying to keep. I don't understand. Did they put it in oath? Like, there's not much logic in it across the board. It will never make any sense to me. I just think it's funny that George Pickens was the guy who let the cat out of the bag.
Of
everybody knew it.
Of course.
It's not like a secret. It's not a closely guarded secret that Russell Wilson was getting first team snaps and it appears that he was going to be the starter. But like, Pickens, you don't have to do that. You wouldn't, if they offered up Pickens for a fourth, you wouldn't do it right now. They're not going to trade them. I do it. I'm so desperate for a wide receiver right now.
Yes, they would do
right
it.
Now, dude.
In season, they would do it now. I just feel like the overarching, like, how could they not have drafted him, looks better and better every single day.
Well, if they had character concerns on the guy, it's trash.
I think they've been backed up. They've been backed up. But yes, they're desperate right now. I think there's some truth that, of course, for like, can I just trade him for the season and trade him right back at the end of the season? Like, I just need you for right now.
Oh, you just want him as a rental and not a long-term option.
Yeah, I just need you for right now. I don't want him on my football team. But I'll take you for a few weeks here.
Trying to play like Premier League. Can I take you on loan for the next 4 months?
Yeah, loans to the NFL season.
God, could you imagine?
That would be wild.
You could just take a player on.
Miles Garrett would be the first. Please, anybody, whoever needs can.
But the problem is, it's got to be like the way it works in that league is not like other Premier League teams
do it.
It's
got to
be other leagues. So in this case, it'd be like, I want Ryan Williams on loan. Hey, Bama, real quick, we'll pay you whatever you want. Just ship him on over for a little bit. Thanks. Really appreciate it. You know, Ashton Jeanty would have been on this team right after Pacheco got hurt on loan for a little bit.
Yeah, gonna loan him from Boise State. Call him up.
His stats count towards his Heisman Trophy candidacy because now he's doing it at the NFL. But he gets to go back to Boise State at the end of the year, you know?
If Ashton Jeanty got caught up to the NFL, you just give him the Heisman right away. Like, the guy's playing in the NFL as a college student. Like, I don't even think you...
Well, by that logic, Travis Hunter also would have already been
loaned out.
That's the only thing. Is like, all those guys wouldn't be in college. They would just be...
Could you imagine if you can get loaned? But you still got to draft him, right? You got to go through the regular process. Could you imagine... They're not on your team permanently. It's a loan.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if they did that and it was just like... It would always be quarterbacks. It'd be like, hey, before we take this guy number one overall, let's get his ass in here.
That's right.
Let's see how he handles some things. Ooh, pretty good. Okay, we'll take you number one overall. That's why it'd be so silly in the NFL.
All right, up next, we get to the fan club here on a Friday. We're expected to hear from Andy Reid, get an update on Juju Smith-Schuster's hamstring, if he's going to be available to play on Sunday. We'll also have CDOT hang out with us. We'll talk some college football. More Chiefs next on 96.5 The Fan.